Suratul A'raf, ayah number 158. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O mankind, indeed I am the messenger of Allah to you all, from Him, to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. There is no deity except Him. He gives life and causes death. So believe in Allah and His Messenger, the unlettered Prophet, who believes in Allah and His words, and follow Him that you may be guided. And among the people of Moses is a community which guides by truth and by it establishes justice. Who are these people? Which community? Those of them who accepted and followed the final Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we divided them into 12 descendant tribes, as distinct nations. And we inspired to Moses, when his people implored him for water, strike with your staff the stone, and there gushed forth from it 12 springs. Imagine running water at that time, one avenue of water for each tribe. Allah says every people, meaning tribe, knew its watering place. And we shaded them with clouds, and sent down upon them manna and quail, saying, eat from the good things with which we have provided you. And they wronged us not, but they were only wronging themselves. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the children of Israel for worshipping a calf, and Musa alayhi salam had picked up the pieces of the Torah, they were told to head to Palestine toward Jerusalem, because that was supposed to be their home. Just outside of Jerusalem they camped out. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them the 12 springs and sent them ready-made food from the sky. Manna, which was a carbohydrate-like substance which would settle as dew on the trees for them to eat, and also quails. And it was said to them, eat from the good things with which we have provided for you. They were not meant to work hard, to sow seeds, do agriculture or hunt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them something that we are used to today and we take for granted. Let's see how they wronged themselves. And mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was said to them, dwell in the city, Jerusalem, and eat from it wherever you will. And say, relieve us of our burdens, meaning sins, and enter the gate of Jerusalem, bowing humbly. We will then forgive you your sins. We will increase the doers of good in goodness and reward. But those who wronged among them changed the words to a statement other than that which had been said to them. They made fun of the word that was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of saying forgiveness, they started saying habbatun, which sounded like hittatun. Hittatun meant forgiveness. Habbatun just means a seed. And they entered the town sliding on their behinds. Subhanallah, what an insolent nation. They took everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. They took it for granted. They felt it was their right and they deserved it. They forgot to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They forgot to be humble and they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, so He sent upon them a punishment from the sky for the wrong that they were doing. And asked them about the town that was by the sea, when they transgressed in the matter of the Sabbath, when their fish came to them openly on their Sabbath day, and the day they had no Sabbath, they did not come to them. Thus did we give them trial, because they were defiantly disobedient. Allah reminds them of a well-known event in their past, the story of the fishing village. They wanted to circumvent the Sabbath. They were not allowed to work on the day of the Sabbath. But Allah tells us at the end of this ayah that He tried them because they already were defiantly disobedient. Kanu yafsuqun. He knew that they would fail and then the punishment would be proven against them. So in order to circumvent the day of Sabbath, they would set out some nets Friday evening or dig holes on the beach Friday evenings and pull in the fish the next day, Sunday. It seems with these successive events that it was their inherent nature to circumvent the laws of Allah, to circumvent the commandments of Allah. In essence, they were making fun of the rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they took their religion as mere play and amusement. As a slave nation under the Pharaoh, this is what they had learned. They had seen the Pharaoh, the Egyptians, making their religion simply a matter of celebrations, one celebration after another celebration. There was no core of seriousness present. There was no core of belief and iman present. There was no piety in any of the rituals. But the most amazing thing is that despite seeing the miracle sent by Allah, despite having Musa alayhi salam and successive prophets with them always, and having such a clear book with them, the Nur, the mercy, the light that was the Torah, they still did not change. They never changed. Allah describes further what happened at this event at the fishing village. And when a community among them said, "Why do you advise or warn a people whom Allah is about to destroy or to punish with a severe punishment?" They, the advisers, said, "To be absolved before your Lord, and perhaps they may fear him." So the community, the fishing village, split into three groups. One group was circumventing the law of Allah. The other group was watching them, not participating, and not forbidding them either. The third group was the one who advised the wrongdoers against their actions. So the bystanders would tell the advisers, "Allah's punishment is going to come upon these people anyway. Why are you even trying to stop them? Forget about it. Mind your own business." But the advisers said that we have to be absolved before Allah, because Allah has ordered all Muslims to forbid evil and enjoin good, whether people appreciate you or not, whether people like it or not, because it is for their own good. However, ultimately it is for the good of the advisers. If we see an evil and we have the ability to stop it and we don't stop it, we don't even say a word, we don't even raise an eyebrow, then we become of those people who are perpetrating the wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Ameen. Allah tells us, "And when they," that is those advised, the criminals, "forgot that by which they had been reminded, we saved those who had forbidden evil and seized those who wronged with a wretched punishment because they were defiantly disobedient." Who was punished? Two groups amongst that village was punished. The criminals were punished and the bystanders were punished. Allah labels both of them as wrongdoers. فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا أَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. So when they were insolent about that which they had been forbidden, we, Allah, said to them, "Become apes, despised." It is said that their faces turned to those of apes. They all died within 3 days. It is easy for Allah. Even today we have evidence of hypertrichosis. It's a disease where a human being develops massive hair growth all over their face and body. It's known as a werewolf disease. And then a disease where people's faces start resembling those of pigs. Allah's anger descended upon them. And he says, "And mention when your Lord declared that he would surely continue to send upon them until the day of resurrection those who would afflict them with the worst of torment." Over and over again, despite the fact that the children of Israel were never without a prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent people against them who would continuously kill them, evict them from their homes, destroy their temples, and destroy the Torah. The Babylonians, the Romans, the Germans, the Muslims, over and over again, defeated them and ruled them. The Muslims were the only ones who were truly sympathetic and treated the Jews with respect. This was at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu and also at the time of Salahuddin. They've had to face unbelievable cruelty and genocide. May Allah have mercy on their believers. Ameen. And in modern times, they are unable to call Jerusalem their home. A poor, weak nation stands like a fortress against them. Allah says, "Indeed, your Lord is swift in penalty, but indeed he is forgiving and merciful." And we divided them throughout the earth into nations. Of them, some were righteous. Allah always praises the righteous. The Quran has a very balanced approach. Not all people of a nation are alike. Allah tells us and it teaches us balance and fairness. Allah says, of them some were righteous, and of them some were otherwise. And we tested them with good times and bad, that perhaps they would return to obedience. And there followed them successors who inherited the scripture while taking the commodities of this lower life and saying, it will be forgiven for us. Subhanallah. Their scholars were arrogant. The rabbis were arrogant. They would take money from people to give fatwas according to the wishes of the community, as thinking that they will be forgiven. Allah says, they would say, it will be forgiven for us. And if an offer like it comes to them, they will again take it. Was not the covenant of the scripture, that is the Torah, taken from them, that they would not say about Allah except the truth? And they studied what was in it. They had studied the Torah. They knew the truth. Yet they would give incorrect fatwas. They were lies against Allah. Allah says, and the home of the hereafter is better for those who fear Allah. So will you not reason? Even their ulama, even their scholars and their leaders, the religious leaders, had no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, but those who hold fast to the book, meaning the Quran, and establish prayer, indeed we will not allow to be lost the reward of the reformers, the people who try to improve themselves, al-muslihin. And mention when we raised the mountain above them, as if it was a dark cloud, and they were certain that it would fall upon them. And Allah said, take what we have given you with determination, and remember what is in it, that you might fear Allah. So over and over again, they needed to be reminded to take hold of the book, because they continued to throw it behind their backs. They continued to disregard it. They continued to sell the ayat of Allah for a small worldly gain. Because of their rebellion and disobedience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Mount Tur above them, and they were threatened with annihilation unless they turned back to the Torah again. Nothing like this has ever happened to any of the other nations. And we see that Allah is tremendously tolerant, unbelievably tolerant. It is unbelievable for us, but it is easy for Allah. Allah is more tolerant than we can possibly imagine. His mercy supersedes and encompasses everything. The hardships that these people were facing, that the children of Israel were facing, were simply a way to keep turning back an unruly crowd back toward the Torah, back toward the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, back toward the mercy of Allah. And they were told two things. Take what we have given you, the scripture, take it, biquwatin, again Allah says, with strength, hold on to it with strength. Do not take it for granted, do not let the Quran, the scripture, the Torah, do not let it go. The same thing is true for us. We need to hold on to the Quran with determination. Allah says, don't just hold on to it, read it, study it, and remember what is in it. Why? So that you might fear Allah. وَاسْكُرُوا مَا فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is the way to increase our taqwa, increase our caution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the Quran which reminds us over and over again. And this is why we must hold fast to the word of Allah. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. And mention when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify of themselves, saying to them, Am I not your Lord? أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ؟ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا. They said, yes, we have testified. This, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, indeed, we were of this unaware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our souls when He created the soul of Adam alayhi salam, all the souls, the ones that are to come till the end of times. And He asked us a question, Am I not your Lord? And we all replied, Yes, we have testified. We have this knowledge wired into us. It is within us. The Prophet ﷺ said, every child is born upon the fitrah, nature. It is only his parents who turn him into a Jew, a Christian, or a Zoroastrian. Just as animals are born having full bodies, do you see any of them having a cut-off nose when they are born? Subhanallah, that means that we are wired, we are programmed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and no one else. And that is a whole soul. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah said, I created my servants, Hunafa, monotheists, but the devils came to them and deviated them from their religion, prohibiting what I allowed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, it will be said to a man from the people of the fire on the day of resurrection, if you owned all that is on earth, would you pay it as ransom? He will reply, yes. Allah will say, I ordered you with less than that when you were still in Adam's loins. That is, associate none with me in worship. You insisted that you associate with me in worship. Subhanallah. This hujjah, this argument is there so that we cannot complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we were not aware of the truth. Allah says, or lest you say, it was only that our fathers associated others in worship with Allah before, and we were but descendants after them, then would you destroy us for what the falsifiers have done? In the Quran we learn that this excuse that we follow our forefathers, we follow the way our family has done things for the longest time is unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he has elevated us with a heart and a mind. So Allah will not accept that excuse. Allah says, and thus do we explain in detail the verses, and perhaps they will return. And recite to them, O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the news of him to whom we gave knowledge of our signs, but he detached himself from them. So Satan pursued him, and he became of the deviators. It is said that this was a man from the children of Israel at the time of Moses, but this can be true of anyone. Allah says Allah elevated him with the ayat, Allah gave him the ayat and gave him signs, but he detached himself from what? From the ayat of Allah, instead of holding fast to them, instead of remembering them. He walked away from them. Allah says, so Satan pursued him. Why did Satan pursue him? It was not that Satan influenced the man to detach himself, but the man did not appreciate the ayat of Allah. This person did not appreciate the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and started walking away from them. As soon as he did that, it opened a door to Shaitan, and Satan pursued him. And this man, he became one of the deviators. Allah says, and if we had willed, we could have elevated him thereby. Allah says he could have elevated him, this person, with the ayat of Allah, because that is what elevates a human being. On the day of judgment, it will be said to the reciter of the Quran, the one who studied, the one who memorized the Quran, recite the ayat of Allah and rise a degree with each step. Allah says, but this man, he adhered instead to the earth and followed his own desire. أَخْلَضَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. He followed his own hawa, his base desires, and he lowered himself to earthly things, to earthly desires, earthly wants and needs. Allah says, so his example is like that of the dog. If you chase him, he pants, or if you leave him, he still pants, meaning the dog behaves in the same manner no matter what you do to him. So this person is like an animal, or worse than an animal, because he does not realize that he had a chance to be elevated, to rise in degrees. It didn't matter to him. This is a man or a woman who has no intelligence, no understanding, no direction in life. Allah says that is the example of the people who denied our signs. They are like dogs. Allah says to relate the stories that perhaps they will give thought. Think about this, Allah says. When people follow their own desires instead of the ayat of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that they in fact have made their hawa, their base desires, their own gods. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, Ara'aita, have you considered, manittakhadha ilahahu hawahu, one who has taken his ilah, his deity, his own base desires. Allah says also in the Quran, have you considered the one who has taken his own desires as his God? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him misguided based on his own knowledge, and he has placed a seal upon his hearing and upon his heart, and has placed a curtain over his ability to see. So who can guide him after Allah? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ? Do you not understand? People often come to deen, to religion, for some temporary interest or benefit. When the world encircles them, they turn back. On the straight path, the dunya, worldly things, material things will attract you. It could be for any reason. But the most important thing is to note that point and to keep going straight. It is very hard because the straight path also goes up. It is so easy to slide back. Allah calls it al-aqaba, the steep path. It requires striving. Normal, everyday life of a regular person will not have as many tests as the aqaba. You will be severely tested. Why? Because such a person who wants to live their lives to please Allah, their tastes change. The way they act changes. What they talk about changes. The way they think and perceive things changes. It is as if they're swimming upstream. The way downward is easy. And you can roll down very quickly and fall. With even a small amount of heedlessness, it can take us down. But to go up, it requires patience, steadfastness. Keep going slowly. This person will eventually reach Allah. Slow and sure wins the race. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Allah says about this man who turned away and lowered himself toward earthly desires, how evil an example is that of the people who denied our signs and used to wrong themselves. Whoever Allah guides, he is the rightly guided. And whoever he sends astray, it is those who are the losers. And we have certainly created for hell many of the jinn and mankind. They have hearts with which they do not understand. They have eyes with which they do not see. And they have ears with which they do not hear. Those are like livestock, rather. They are more astray. It is they who are the heedless. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. And to Allah belong the best names, so invoke Him by them, and leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning His names, meaning they use them improperly or deny Allah's attributes and His names. Allah says they will be recompensed for what they have been doing. Allah commands us in the Quran to invoke Him with His beautiful names. We know of 99 names that are mentioned in the Quran and through the Ahadith, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has many more names. Of the names which inspire an accepted dua are Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum, Al-Hayy, the ever-living, Al-Qayyum, the one who establishes others, Ya Kareem, the most generous, Ar-Ra'uf, the most soft and affectionate, Ar-Rafi, the one who raises, Al-Wasi, the vast and all-encompassing, Al-Wahhab, the grantor of bounties without measure, Al-Ghafoor, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Zal-Jalali wal-Ikram, and many more. So when we make dua, we should use Allah's names and invoke Him with those beautiful names. Allah says, and among those we created is a community which guides by truth and thereby establishes justice. But those who deny our signs, we will progressively lead them to destruction from where they do not know. And I will give them time. Indeed, my plan is firm. Then do they not give thought? There is in their companion, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no madness. He is not but a clear warner. Do they not look into the realm of the heavens and the earth and everything that Allah has created and think that perhaps their appointed time has come near? All of the creation of Allah points to something. It points to the fact that all of this was designed in immense detail. That means there is a creator, one who has unimaginable power. And just as everything wanes and dies and withers, so will we. Whoever Allah sends astray, he says, there is no guide for him. And he leaves them in their transgression, wandering blindly. People who do not believe in an appointed time. People who do not believe that we will be resurrected and we will be taken to account for our choices. Allah says that is misguidance. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. They ask you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about the hour. When is its arrival? The last day. The time when the world will come to an end. Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. None will reveal its time except him. It lays heavily upon the heavens and the earth. What does it mean, it lays heavily? Because it is a source of concern. It is a source of worry. It is a source of fear for those who believe. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the angel has a trumpet next to his lips and he does not blink for fear of missing the command of Allah to blow the trumpet so that everything in the world will die. Allah says in the Quran, لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. It shall not come upon you except all of a sudden. Al-Bukhari recorded that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hour will not commence until the sun rises from the west. When it rises from the west and the people see it, then all people will believe. However, this is when faith does not benefit a soul that did not believe beforehand nor earned good in faith. The hour will all of a sudden commence when two men have spread a garment between them and neither will have the time to conclude the transaction nor to fold the garment. The hour will commence after a man milked his animal, but he will not have time to drink it. The hour will start when a man is making his watering hole for his animals, but he will not have time to make use of the pool. And the hour will commence while a man has raised his hand with a bite to his mouth, but will not eat it. When Jibril a.s. came in the shape of a Bedouin man to teach the people matters of their religion, he sat next to the Messenger of Allah, asking him as if to learn. Jibril asked the Messenger about Islam, then about Iman, then about Ihsan, excellence in religion. He asked next, when will the hour start? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who is asked about it has no more knowledge of it than the questioner. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, five, their knowledge is only with Allah. Then recited this ayah, verily Allah with him alone is the knowledge of the hour. So what are the five things that only Allah has in his knowledge? Allah encompasses everything in his knowledge. But these particular things Allah has mentioned in the Quran as well. He has not given information about this to anyone. The hour when it comes, the last day on earth. What the mother's womb carries. When it will rain and how much. How much risk, how much sustenance a person will earn the next day. And in which land and at what time a man or a woman will die. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Say, I hold not for myself the power of benefit or harm, except what Allah has willed. And if I knew the unseen, I could have acquired much wealth, and no harm would have touched me. I am not except a warner and a bringer of good news to a people who believe. The Prophet ﷺ was clearly told to say that he does not have the ability to see the unseen. He has no knowledge of the unseen except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. So if he did not have this knowledge in his lifetime, how is it that some Muslims will pray to him after his death? We have no proof of it. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. It is He who created from you one soul and created from it its mate, that he might dwell in security with her. And when he, that is man, covers her, meaning he has sexual intimacy with her, she carries a light burden, meaning she becomes pregnant, and continues therein. And when it becomes heavy, they both invoke Allah their Lord. If you should give us a good child, a pious child, we will surely be among the grateful. But when he gives them a good child, the ungrateful parents ascribe to him, to Allah, concerning that which he has given them, meaning they associate others with Allah, they thank other so-called gods or deities other than Allah. Allah says, exalted is Allah above what they associate with him. At once people start sacrificing to their other idols and forget that they had actually asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Do they associate with him those who create nothing, and they are themselves created? And they, the false deities, are unable to give them help, nor can they help themselves. And if you believers invite them to guidance, they will not follow you. It is all the same for you whether you invite them or you are silent. Indeed, those you, polytheists, call upon besides Allah are servants like you. They are also servants of Allah. So call upon them and let them respond to you, if you should be truthful. Do they have feet by which they walk? Or do they have hands by which they strike? Or do they have eyes by which they see? Or do they have ears by which they hear? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, call your so-called partners and then conspire against me and give me no respite. Indeed, my protector is Allah. Inna waliyyi Allahu alladhi nazzala al-kitab wa huwa yatawalla al-salihin. Indeed, my protector is Allah, who has sent down the book, and he is an ally to the righteous. And those you call upon besides him are unable to help you, nor can they help themselves. And if you invite them to guidance, they do not hear, and you see them looking at you while they do not see. Take what is given freely. Meaning Allah says, be easy in dealing with them, with the polytheists, and avoid causing them difficulty. Take what is given freely, enjoin what is good, and turn away from the ignorant. Continue to remind them, but do not get caught up in arguments. Allah says, and if an evil suggestion comes to you from Satan, then seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, He is hearing and knowing. It can be that Satan is influencing a person to agree with the polytheist, to soften towards the polytheist, to think that what they are doing is acceptable, as long as they are doing it, and that there is no harm in it. This is a suggestion from Satan, Allah says. Or it can mean, do not get into arguments with them, because that is also from Shaitan. Allah says, and if an evil suggestion comes to you from Satan, then seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, He is hearing and knowing. Indeed, those who fear Allah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا, when an impulse touches them from Satan, they remember him, and at once they have insight. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, because Satan will attack us. Remember, he said, I will attack the children of Adam from the front, from behind, from the right, and from the left. And he said to Allah that you will not find most of human beings to be grateful to you. So when we are influenced by shaitan and we are about to commit an error or we have committed an error, at once the Muslim, the believer, should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we will be able to see, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instantly give us a light to see the truth. Say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah says, but their brothers, meaning those among mankind, who listen to the devils and obey their orders. But their brothers, they, that is the devils, increase them in error, then they do not stop short. So to say A'udhu billah will banish the jinn who are devils, but it will not banish the human beings who are devils. And these human devils become more dangerous. They do not go away, and they become persistent in opposition and transgression against believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala secure us from their plots. Ameen.